Jace and Kira. Weekends from 11.
This is the second take of this introduction because literally we started it and I went, what a great weekend of shows, and then tried to ad-lib what we had even discussed and can't remember. Like, Jesus, that's terrible. We have an awful memory.
The only reason that I'm okay with this is it's been like this for 12 years. It's not as if this is like a later development.
It's not a new symptom, you're right. Like, we have had this level of poor memory I've had this level of poor memory for an awfully long time.
Oh, no.
What did we do on the weekend?
Well, Chris, on Saturday we chatted about the New Zealand Council.
Oh, that's it, the Wizard. Yeah, sorry. Everybody loved the Wizard. Sorry, I forgot that.
Loved the Wizard story. My mum even texted me after the radio show and was like, great show, love. Loved the Wizard story. And yes,
the Wizard was very popular.
We were talking about a wizard who, after two decades of service, was let go by New Zealand Council. So that was interesting. And also, I filled Chris in the Nicki Minaj drama that she has herself embroiled in with the Little Mix, and I am not here for it, Chris.
There's huge drama. There's beef, Kira. Absolute beef. Then on on Sunday, speaking of beef, we were discussing a couple that ordered a burger in a very weird way. That's redeemed me for not even being able to remember what went on the show. Anyway, Sunday we were discussing the order from a couple for a burger takeaway that was the most, people said, unreasonable, specific and Karen-like thing they'd ever seen. But I disagreed, I have to say. Like, I got what they were going for with it.
I got what they were going for, but like yourself, I didn't think it was too out there for an order. I did, however, have an issue with the amount of plastics that they wanted for their takeaway meal.
It wasn't very environmentally sustainable. No,
no, it wasn't.
Right. No, you're dead
right. Of course, we were talking about the fact...
Have you forgotten now as well? And you're trying to like see if I can remember. We did this 40 minutes ago. Like, we just finished the show on Sunday.
Oh, we
what was the other thing?
Oh god, no, Chris, you're gonna get this. No, hold on.
We did this, don't look it up either.
No, I won't.
On the schedule thing. We did this 40 minutes ago. Like, hold on. Yeah, to give you a little insight into the world of radio now. It's now five minutes past one
on
Sunday.
I'll tell you what we did. We talked about how children in playgrounds in the UK are playing their own version of Squid Game.
And they're like moral panic and outrage and like the fact that there's always the thing like Grand Theft Auto and then like Eminem CDs and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, that's appalling.
That is really
like
bad.
We did. It's 6 minutes past one on Sunday, which is when we record these intros. After we've done the show on Sunday.
And we literally cannot remember what we did at 11:30 on the show.
An hour 40 minutes, an hour 36 minutes ago. Jesus, that is terrible.
We could spin it in a way that like we're concentrating so much on you know, putting out the best output that the two of us possibly can, that our brains are tired as soon as it comes to 1:00. And we hand over our brain power to Dave Fanning.
That's it.
So that's what we did on the show, we think.
Jesus, that was tough.
It was bad, wasn't it?
How did we... Like, I know sometimes we're not the most... rigorous when we're doing the intros, because like we like to ad-lib and stuff, we don't like to be the segmented, because like the show is about you and I just messing around, but that was terrible. How did that take us 3 minutes to introduce?
Anyway, I'll tell you what wasn't terrible was our radio show, so have a listen.
Kira, sorry, we're actually in the middle of a conversation here, because you're going to have to explain this to me. This is a sprawling story of beefing that I knew nothing about.
Yeah, so I want to be deadly honest. Myself and Chris talk about Little Mix an awful lot on the show, and we kind of started out as a joke, has now become full circle. It's one of those things where now I think that Chris genuinely is a Little Mix fan.
The weird thing is, I was, of course, doing it like the way we start loads of things, in a very ironic, sarcastic, arch way, like we do things. But like the way I pretend to be like a good radio DJ, and I'm like, yeah, that's some great Little Mix there. And now I'm actually doing that. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Now I'm actually that like cliched radio thing. But anyway, so, you're right. We're doing it as well with Little Mix. And
we have, and like Jessie Nielsen, she left the band.
Hold
on,
start at the beginning now here. You said to me earlier, there's a beef between... Nicki Minaj.
Yes.
This is like a grandparent when you try to explain technology to them. Nicki Minaj and who are beefing? Jessie from Little Mix, who's not in Little Mix anymore.
No, Jessie Nielsen and Nicki Minaj, Chris. They've just released a single, which I think went to number one in the Billboard charts.
Yeah, we played it a few minutes ago. Boys.
Just played it. Yeah. Okay, so the beef is Nicki Minaj has decided to ferociously throw her hat in the ring.
Yeah.
And she's been feuding with Leanne Pinnock in particular. And the reason being is Leanne allegedly accused ex-member Jessie Nielsen of blackfishing. Okay.
Okay, so for appearing in the video with Nicki Minaj, for Jessie appearing in the video with... This is like in school and we're like getting all the gossip, but I love it. So blackfishing, my understanding, is when you essentially will say, if you're an artist who is not black,
it's when a white public figure or an influencer do everything in their power to appear black. Now, yeah. Jessie Nielsen has been accused of this in the past, all right?
Sure, and like lots of artists have. Miley Cyrus, Ariana Grande. A lot of people have been accused of, we'll say, appropriating, dabbling in black music and culture when it suits them.
Yes.
But then going back to, and I think this is the argument here, I'm not saying it either way, but then going back to, we'll say, the privilege that being white attaches to you when it feels, when you know, when it suits them as well.
Exactly.
Okay. So she's been accused of blackfishing.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
So So bear with me. Some messages were sent around online and seemingly they were written by Leanne.
Okay.
Who, did Leanne just have a baby, Chris? I think Leanne just had a baby, did she?
Yeah, I think they all had a baby.
I know Perry
wasn't every member of Little Mix pregnant, I think, at one point.
No, not every member. That was an exaggeration. There was only two, Chris.
Oh.
Come on.
Two out of three, though. Like, I mean, that's... Sorry, you're anyway, right, though. Let's try to be rigorous journalists here. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, so Jessie Nielsen and then Nicki Minaj, they went on Instagram Live together on Monday night to discuss the situation.
I actually, like, I'll just play a few seconds of this because this is, I was watching this between these two.
You
and
won't
it's like,
go anywhere because your heart ain't right. If somebody is whatever you say they are, let people figure that out. Let people talk. Fans are going to talk. Fans are going to critique. People are going to diss people. That's what it is.
So this is the start of what is, believe it or not, a 13-minute Instagram Live between Jessie and Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj, she never addressed Little Mix or Leanne Pinnock by name in the Instagram Live, but she later confirmed that she was, in fact, speaking about Pinnock in a video the next day. And I just think that it's a very dangerous thing to do. Nicki Minaj is this massively powerful rapper in America. Little Mix haven't hit America yet, really, have they?
No, I don't think so.
No. So Leanne's introduction into this American world is by Nicki Minaj dissing her. And I just think it's a really unhealthy thing to do. I think it's a really unfair thing to do. And what on earth is Jessie Nielsen doing as well, allowing Nicki Minaj to do that? I don't agree with it.
Sure, but aren't they all broken up now? Isn't that like the problem? Isn't it that Jessie left? So I guess this is, you know, maybe people turning on each other now that one of them has left. I didn't even know
it
what blackfishing
like
was until this. Like, I'd heard the term cultural appropriation, but I'd never heard the term blackfishing.
Yeah. So there you go, Chris. That is what is going on with Nicki Minaj and the gang from Little Mix. I think this is a bit of a bullying situation, and that's why I'm not okay with it.
Yeah. Blackfishing is when a white woman tries to emulate the appearance of a black or mixed race woman. She might do this by adopting extreme fake tan, lip fillers, curly hair, and even a Brazilian butt lift. Wow. I'll tell you something. I wasn't aware of any of this. This, you know what? I just want some fun music, Kira. Like, I just want some tracks about bad boys. Do you know what I mean? That's all I want. I want tracks about Nicki Minaj liking a bad boy and him shooting up the club or whatever. Whatever it was. That's all I'm interested in. I don't want us to go back to the days of Tupac and Biggie and all the beef and everything. I hope we can lay down our arms and everything. I hope this doesn't get
Chris,
any more
I
violent.
Think you'll be safe, okay?
You don't think these three are going to start shooting each other or having drive-bys? You never know. I mean, it's getting heated. The more I read about this, the more I like this wizard that the New Zealand Council had on their books for the last...
Okay.
How many years was this guy getting paid to be their resident wizard?
23 years. Okay, so let's explain this to everyone. Now, I've never been to New Zealand, okay?
Amazing.
But I saw this article during the week and I was just like, wow. And this was the headline. The official wizard of New Zealand, perhaps the only state-appointed wizard in the world, has been cast from the public payroll of New Zealand, spelling the end, I love the way they said that, to a 23-year legacy. Okay, so his real name is Ian Brackenbury Channel. He's 88 years of age, and he had been contracted to Christchurch City Council for the past two decades to promote the city through, and this is no word of lie, acts of wizardry and other wizard-like services at a cost of $16,000 a year. So over a 23-year period, he's been paid a total of $368,000. And get this, he's not even from New Zealand. He was born in England and he began performing acts of wizardry and entertainment in public spaces shortly after arriving in New Zealand in 1976. So the council in New Zealand originally tried to stop him, but the public were like, no, Christchurch needs a wizard.
Absolutely.
And in 1990, the Prime Minister at the time, Mike Moore, he asked that he consider becoming the Wizard of New Zealand officially. And he wrote him a letter on official...
like headed notepaper and stuff. And
letterhead and all the rest. And he asked him, would he become the official Wizard of New Zealand?
This is a colossal waste of money, but I love it.
Yeah, so he has performed in Christchurch. He has rain danced in New Zealand and Australia during droughts. And he was awarded the Queen's Service Medal in the 2009 Queen's Birthday Honours.
Right.
So there you go.
I see.
I have, Kira, here some audio that we need to hear from the wizard himself, believe it or not. And you know, sometimes Kira and I, we're a little sarcastic and facetious here, and we'll play you audio that's not actually the wizard. I just want to clarify. This is the wizard. This is actually the wizard from New Zealand. And his take on the fact that he is having his position brought to an end after 23 years. $368,000 to be the wizard of New Zealand.
I'd do it.
Listen, great work if you can get it. I'll be the feckin' wizard of RTE if they want to add on a few extra euro. Do you know what I mean? I'll be running around here doing rain dances for Joe Duffy or whoever needs it. Absolutely. Hold on a second now. Let's listen to this. Wizard. The wizard gave an interview about his position coming to an end.
Who's in charge of what we of a body we call the Wizard of New Zealand Limited?
So anyway, he has an organisation called the Wizard of New Zealand Limited. So I think they got in contact with one of his people. They didn't tell the wizard directly, because obviously, Kira, the wizard's a big shot. He's not going to be dealing with people directly. Do you know what I mean?
Was approached and told that our arrangement with the council, which was for an honorarium to be paid of $16,000 a year, which is less than the old age pension, eh? It was an honorarium to have a wizard.
I love how as well this guy goes, oh my god, like a measly 16,000. Pal, you're getting paid 16,000 to be a wizard. Like, that's incredible money. Jesus Christ.
Wizard in residence, but they were reconsidering it. They didn't think that he needed to have a wizard promoting the city. Well, that's up to them, but as far as I'm concerned, we'll explain to the people that we do have a function in drawing tourists and pleasing the locals and bringing some fun to the city. So the wizard is unique. There is no other city in the world has an official wizard.
I like how he scoffs at the 16,000 he gets per year to be a wizard.
I know,
for
but
the city of New Zealand.
Can I say, so the council said that it sent the lizard a letter thanking him for his service to Christchurch over the past decades, and they informed him that they were closing the book on his contract because they reckon that the city is embarking on a new tourism and promotional direction that will reflect its diverse communities and showcase a vibrant, diverse, modern city that is attracted to residents, domestic and international visitors, new businesses, etc., etc. And the wizard obviously is kind of saying, well, they're basically saying that I don't fit the new vibes of this new Christchurch that they're trying to promote. But Chris, when you think about it, people go to New York City to see the Naked Cowboy playing his guitar in Times Square. I can see why people would go to Christchurch to get a picture with the wizard.
But I don't know if the city of New York pays the Naked Cowboy to walk around the place doing his Naked Cowboy thing. Like, I think it's a much more
into that
capitalist idea. They're like, well, listen, you can stand out there and play your guitar if you want to, but like, we're not going to pay you like the wizard gets paid. Hold on.
Not just that, but I'm interested in cosmology, philosophy, aesthetics, and they'll find my exhibition, which the council is sponsoring as part of Heritage Week.
This wizard's very annoyed by all of this.
No, he genuinely, there is a big exhibition about his life being put up in one of the local art galleries in Christchurch, so it kind of doesn't make sense in one way. But if the wizard is going to go, isn't it nice that he's getting his own exhibition?
Sure.
So the council aren't all bad, doing a good job there. This exhibition about the wizard will give you a pretty good idea of the incredible range of my activities and how all of them are about being a little more happy, more playful, more intelligent, and less frightened.
Okay, fair enough. Like, so, I get that. Like, I get the vibe he's going for here. And you're right. Nowhere else has a wizard. Right.
Yeah, he was asked if he would curse the council over its decision, but he said he preferred to give blessings. He said, I give children happy dreams, general good health, and I want to make bureaucrats become more human.
That is a great high road to take on the whole thing. Because if I was the wizard, I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to curse all of them. I'm going to give them the most... can I give you, like, though, just like a relative kind of, we'll say, price figure here? So the wizard, over the last, whatever, 21 years, has gotten 368,000 New Zealand dollars. The spire in Dublin cost 4 million. So, like, I mean... You know, when you compare the two of them, we could have 10 wizards running around the place for the cost of the spire. We could have had 10 wizards in Ireland for the last 21 years at the same cost of what the spire was. So
the Naked Cowboy, as of 2015, the Naked Cowboy, his name is Robert John Burke, okay? Mm-hmm. He can make up to sometimes more than $600 per day. So he gets tips, and then he often asks for payment about $1 for a photo to be taken with
him.
That's
fair enough, yeah.
So I think that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
The wizard needs to transition into that model. You know what I mean?
I would just like to know, does anyone have any other examples? We've got the Wizard of Christchurch in New Zealand. We've got the Naked Cowboy who plays his guitar in Times Square. I'm trying to think of those figures that walk around. Like, do we have any in Ireland even?
The wizard needs to set up an OnlyFans and just like start charging people a subscription. That'll make more sense. I was actually one person in Galway I know who used to read palms. I remember. And she would read palms outside the Supermax in Eyre Square.
Yes, I've had my palm read by her actually.
Have you?
Years and years and years ago.
There you go. So there are definitely local characters like that. Absolutely.
Lots of people loving our story about the wizard in New Zealand too.
Yeah, this wizard has really captured people's imagination. See, this is only strengthening the wizard's argument that they need to keep him on the books.
See, this is it. And people have shared familiar figures from different cities around Ireland as well. Myself and Chris are like, oh yeah, I remember that person. But somebody says,
Madam Bridget,
wizard,
by the way, was the name of the person we were talking about with the palm reading in Galway. Thank you, Texture. Mm-hmm. That was indeed it. Madam Bridget.
It was Madam Bridget, yeah. Somebody says, the wizard should move to Australia and become the Wizard of Oz.
Oh,
did you get it, Chris? Chris, you get it? Because The Wizard of Oz is like that really famous movie from like the 1940s starring Judy Garland.
Hold on. I'll get a laugh track. We'll do that
Australia's
again. Say that
Oz.
Again, Kira. I have a laugh track ready to go. Hold on.
Somebody's texting say, the wizard should move to Australia and become The Wizard of Oz.
Very, very good.
Thank you.
Some great comedy going on here. You know, Kira, you and I were on air, I think, when Michael Jackson died. We were on air to announce the actual shutting down of the country for COVID. And now we're on air for this. I can't believe you've just received that news.
Well,
this is huge.
Well, Chris, it might be huge for the likes of yourself, actually. But yeah, I'm just looking at a headline here. The end of the road has been reached. Little Mix to formally announce they are splitting up next month as the trio plan solo career. So, Chris, we'll just have to wait with bated breaths to see whether that is true or not, okay?
I can't believe it. Now, there. That's something I'm going to badger you over. I didn't realize you hadn't seen Succession.
No, I haven't, Chris.
Well, you need to get on that.
One of the only TV shows that kind of slipped through the nets on me last year.
It's brilliant. You really need to get on it. And I presume the reason you're even bringing this up with me is because you're seeing all the hype about the fact that the new season starts tomorrow.
The third season's coming out tonight, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, tonight. I think you can watch it. I think it's airing in the US tonight or something, and then you can watch it tomorrow or something. Or maybe even tonight here. I don't actually know. I'm a little out of the loop. But yeah, the new season, season 3 of Succession starts tonight, and everyone's very excited about it.
Just called it art.
It is art. I mean that as well, because I was saying to Kira there as that track was playing, I was like, it is a form of art. It's incredibly well done. It's one of the most well cast and well acted TV shows I've ever seen. And I say that with no exaggeration, so listen. There you go, that's my review. That's I'm like Roger Ebert. That's my review of the TV. Oh, go ahead.
Better than The Sopranos. Okay, so nothing has ever knocked The Sopranos off the top of Chris's list thus far.
But you know what I will say? I will say that it is a very nourishing substitute for The Sopranos. If you can't have The Sopranos for dinner, like Succession will do. Do you know what I mean? I'm telling you, give it a try, Kira. You won't regret. Okay, I'll watch Squid Games if you watch Succession.
Boom, deal.
There you go, deal, perfect. All right.
Okay.
We have a whole world ahead of us, both of us. Whole new world, it's very exciting. I have to say, there is something I really enjoy and have for the last, you know, basically my entire life, about the moral panic that starts when a thing becomes popular. Grand Theft Auto, for a while, I think it was like Marilyn Manson's music back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And now it's Squid Games. I love it.
Eminem,
Eminem, of course.
Well.
Yeah, he was in the moral panic. Oh, God, he was. Yes, absolutely. So now you're telling me it's Squid Games, Kira?
It is Squid
Games, very
Chris.
Nice. That's this generation's one. Very good.
It is. And Squid Games, obviously, it's gone on to be one of Netflix's biggest shows in over 90 countries, okay?
Yeah.
I was actually reading an article about the director, and it took him 10 years to get Squid Games made.
Wow.
And now it is literally one of the most successful programs to ever hit Netflix.
Okay.
I'd love to find out, is this the same in Ireland? Because I haven't seen any articles linking this to Irish schools. But schools around England have warned parents to check their device settings amid multiple reports of children viewing this smash hit show.
So what? This is just even they're worried about the kids watching it, not like reenacting it or anything. Just watching the show is bad, is it? Apparently.
Because
that's going to destroy our youth.
Because seemingly one head teacher said that there was a small group of children in the school and they were aged around 6, which is very young, and they were discussing the show and they were reenacting some scenes. And for those of you that haven't seen Squid Games, the South Korean series features characters competing in a series of games where failure results in death. Okay?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
I'm with you.
So 6-year-olds should not be watching this program, should not be reenacting anything to do with this program. But the problem is, so like obviously the teachers have sent out, you know, letters to parents to go check your parental advisory settings.
The settings on Netflix so that the kids like that. Can't go in and watch the adult rated shows.
When we used to hear things when we were young, it was like, don't press the red button. You're not allowed to watch that. You're not allowed to watch The Silence of the Lambs. You're not allowed to watch, you know what I mean? I'm trying to think of things.
You're not allowed to listen to Eminem music. You're not allowed to watch Jackass. Yeah. All of that kind of stuff, yeah.
What would you want to do?
Of course. Listen.
You would go out of your way as a child to try and watch these things that you were forbidden to
Can
watch.
I give you some insight on that? Dre, you know Dr. Dre, the producer. Dr. Dre, very successful music producer, rapper, all of that. I remember he said in an interview once, and it was about Eminem them putting the parental advisory sticker on the CD. Eminem and Dr. Dre were like, that's brilliant when that happens.
Brilliant.
He's like, when they force you to put that on, you've made it. He's like, that attracts kids to the CD. I remember when I was a kid and we used to buy CDs. If I saw the parental advisory sticker on the CD, that was the CD I was buying. Like,
I know.
None of this helps. None of this stops kids from watching it. None of this.
To give you context, okay, in this series, right, all these kind of cash-strapped contestants, they play games such as marbles, tug-of-war, red light, green light, and this is for the chance to win cash. However, obviously, if they fail any of them, unlike the schoolyard, these people are in serious trouble. So I get the chance. So basically, Chris, any of the children's games that we played when we were kids in Ireland, like Rounders or Red Rover or anything like that, it's the South Korean version of that, but for adults, and if you lose, death is inevitable. Do you know what I mean?
Is the game violent though? So as in, you know when they're playing marbles?
Yes.
Are they playing a violent version of marbles? Are they playing a normal version of marbles, but then they get the head beaten off them if they lose?
So they have a normal game of marbles.
Right, but then the penalty is death if they lose. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, I'm with you. I like it. But listen, I mean,
now a lot of people have come out and they've been blaming Netflix. And they're saying that it should be, like, I know, I think it's been rated appropriate for viewers aged 15 and older. Now, obviously, I would have put that at 18. I would put Squid Games at 18. I genuinely would.
Because of the violence.
And as you said, because of the violence in it. But as you said, just like Dr. Dre said about Eminem's album, you slap that on that album, it becomes the most popular album of all time. But I do not think that parents should be blaming Netflix. I think that parents should be kind of looking at themselves and making sure that their children don't have access to see it.
Sure. Like I remember with Jackass, the same thing was happening. When the Jackass TV show and the Jackass films were really big, parents were blaming that because their kid would like jump off a bridge with a concrete helmet on or something. Like, you also have a certain level of like responsibility in your kid's life. You know what I mean? Like, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Of course, kids are going to be influenced by stuff they see on TV. Absolutely, of course. There's a lot of research that shows they are.
Look,
but
as
like
I said, we've all gone out of our way to look at things that we weren't supposed to look at. You know, so I completely get it. Someone has just texted in to say, same in Ireland. We got an email about it this week from our primary school.
About what, though? Like, that in case the kids watch it and then are going to execute each other if they lose the game of Rounders. Like, I mean,
No, it's not that though, Chris. It's like kids young as six shouldn't be, you know, pretending to kill anyone.
I guess not. But actually, do you know what, Kira? I'm actually not going to watch Squid Games now because I don't want to be influenced by it. So you know how you keep being on at me to watch it? I'm afraid I can't because I don't want my young, delicate mind like to be polluted by Squid Games. I might end up like executing broadcast coordinator Adam or something.
All right.
You'd have to be careful. Anyway,
leave Adam alone.
No, if Adam loses a game of marbles, I'm going to kick him. Yeah, there we go, Neo. Let me love you here on 2FM. Hi everyone, what's going on? My name is Chris. This wonderful woman, her name's Kira. Sorry, what's going on, Kira?
Hello. It's so funny, Chris, because anytime like you, now that we mention Neo, all I can think of is Neo without a hat.
And you know,
something that you told me to look up years ago.
I made a conscious decision not to say it there because I always say it whenever we play Neo, and I feel like I am bombarding that. Sorry, I feel like I'm bombarding people with that. But do look up Neo without his hat. It is quite a trip because, I mean, you'd describe Neo as a handsome man, wouldn't you? Like Neo's a very handsome gentleman. But then when he doesn't have his hat on, he looks totally different.
He does look very different, but anyway.
He looks really, like, not scary, but, like, you're like, whoa! And then you're like, oh, that's Neo. He's just not wearing a hat. So I can see why whatever stylist or, like, advisor it was from the record label was like, listen, Neo, you're going to have to wear a hat, like, all the time. You're
all
just going to have
time,
to wear hundreds of different hats, and then you're a very handsome man. But anyway, thank you for bringing that up, Kira. I didn't want to bring it up, but I feel now that you've brought it up, we can talk about
Chris,
it.
Well, Chris, I have something else to bring up as well, because myself and yourself, we really want to tell you about a charity that we really want everybody to get behind.
So I think Neo would give to this charity. Wearing a hat, absolutely.
They're called Heroes Aid. It's an organisation that came together last year to help frontline workers during one of the biggest challenges to hit the health service, which was COVID-19. So the psychological toll that the pandemic had on staff was immense, and now is when they need our help the most, okay? So Heroes Aid supplies psychological, financial and educational support to frontline healthcare workers and or their immediate family members who have been adversely impacted by the last 18 months.
Yes, so to highlight the amazing work of Heroes Aid, this is really nice now as well. The Blizzards have teamed up with the RTE Concert Orchestra for a really special version of Trust Me, I'm a Doctor. We're going to listen to that right now. And think about donating. GoFundMe.com/HeroesAid21. GoFundMe.com/HeroesAid21. Come on, do it. I know all the ins and outs. I know why who's fighting with who from Little Mix and Nicki Minaj and Jesse and Perry and all this. I am up to date. However, that is not what today's unreasonableness is about.
No, and I saw this and it really annoyed me, because we're just really at that stage in society that we're now, you know, intervening with a chef, like a chef who was taught how to cook, who mastered the art of cooking. The reason we go to restaurants is to have beautiful food placed in front of us that we're not able to make at home because of the extreme talent of chefs around the world.
Sure. So this now, is interesting.
It is, because when it comes to meat, though, people are very particular about the meat. So I do understand that side of things, or how they like their burgers done, or how they like their steak cooked and stuff like that. And so the server will ask you, and me and you both know this because we both, I was a waitress and you were a waiter for a period of time. When I say it out loud, that sounds so weird, because I obviously was a fantastic waitress, but I just can't imagine you as a waiter.
Can you imagine me in a customer-focused, customer service-orientated job? Can you imagine how that went?
No, where you had to be nice talk to people.
That's why I got put doing things like polishing the glasses for 8 hours and all that, and I loved it. I thought that was great. It was fantastic. But anyway, I hear you on that point, by the way. It's odd to think I was ever placed in that role. Yes, you're right, Kim. I hear you. Yeah.
So there was a post shared on the Facebook page, and it's called Don't F With Your Server, okay? So obviously it's an American Facebook page, and people who work in the service industry post different stories about customers that they've had to deal with. And again, me and you both know sometimes that customers can be a little bit dodgy, I think it's fair to say.
Don't get me wrong, I have to say as well, when we're talking about waiters here and waitresses, I am weirdly polite to people. I'm weirdly polite to waiters and waitresses because I know what their job is. Like,
you're
I'm
not weirdly,
overly
you're not
polite.
Weirdly polite. No, are you? Okay.
Like, as in, do you know what I mean? As in, I think it's a case of, I try so hard to not be this customer that we're about to discuss because of the fact that I know what the job is like. Do you understand what I'm saying? That it's in my mind, it's in your mind as well, because it can be a very tough job. People very demanding, they can be very rude, and at times even aggressive. It's astounding.
And especially now, as, you know, society is opening back up again, I find myself just being way kinder to people who work in shops and people who work in the service industry.
100%.
Because we're all trying to navigate this kind of new balance.
Yeah,
do you know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Anyway, this American couple, Chris, I don't know how I would have dealt with them. To cut a long story short, okay, they placed an order in a particular restaurant to go, and they had a list of things that they had on a note to give to the chef to prepare their food.
Let's have a listen to these. So one of them, here's it. It says, how to prepare our burgers to go. All buns in one container. All meats in one container, please. Burger patties as rare as possible. Just brown each side. All veggies in one container. All cheeses in one container. Of course, fries in separate containers. Sauces or other items separate also. Thank you. And
also,
they handed this to the people.
Yeah, can I just say, Mother Earth is cringing at that message as well. There's so many unnecessary
need
containers.
Yes, a lot of containers
in that particular order as well. And this is for two people, guys. And we're trying to reverse some of the damage that we've done to the planet at the minute. And people like this, Alan and Karen, I think their names were, are not going to help matters by any means. So I would like to know, I would like to hear from chefs out there, how would you react if you got a note like that? 51552.
Can I be very difficult?
I can understand, okay, the meat, I get that. I can understand how you would want, if you like your burger rare, to put that. I mean, that kind of goes without saying that you're asked how you'd like your burger done.
Sure, fair enough.
I always say medium, actually.
Mm-hmm. That's fair enough. No, that's fair enough. Obviously, people are going to specify how they want the meat done. I think it's the other 9 requirements or whatever that have people up in arms a little bit, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to be difficult here.
Oh, why?
No, and I'm not doing this to be contrary, and I'm not doing this to be an ass. I got burgers once from a really highfalutin place. I think it actually might have even been during COVID. I got some burgers delivered. And they had everything. This was a like highfalutin enough place that kind of had, you know, notions about itself. And they had everything separate. And they said, make it, put it all together when we send it to you. And it'll be a totally different experience. And I have to say, it was. It was a totally different experience. When you make the burger and then it travels for 20, 25 minutes in a car or on the back of a bike or whatever to get to you, it can kind of have lost some of its pizzazz, you know? Mm-hmm. It can be a little sorry by the time you take it out of the box. Everything's melted in together. Everything's a little soggy. Everything has lost its consistency. But if you assemble it just before you eat it, it is better. Mm-hmm. I get these people's point.
But, okay, I understand, like, things like fries should potentially come in separate containers.
Yes. Yeah.
Chips.
Sure.
For a takeaway meal. But to demand that everything is separated, it kind of almost defeats the idea of ordering a burger in the first place.
You just make one yourself. Yeah,
make one yourself.
Yeah, I hear you.
I don't know. I have to say, like, I know everybody was tearing this couple apart and everybody was saying, oh my God, what an unreasonable pair of people that they would go in and they'd say this. But I have to say, having gotten takeaway burgers that are sitting in the box all made for 20 minutes, that are a soggy, unfortunate mess when you take them out, or putting one together yourself, I see their point. I want to stick up for them.
No, well, then I would say, go to your local burger joint or somewhere that's near you and collect your burger and walk to your house within a 5 minute capacity. If
I'm
that
not
is at all
walking
possible.
Anywhere, Kieran.
Okay.
That's an insane suggestion. How dare you? Absolutely not. But listen, 51552. Are these people unreasonable? Because the internet seems to think they are unreasonable. Like, these people have been panned. These people have been torn apart. These people have been eviscerated online. But look, we'll see.
Somebody has texted in to say, I used to have a guy that would give me a note to tell me how to make his Bombay up martini every Friday for 2 years. But like, I get it maybe doing it the first time, but like, listen, this is how I like my martini.
Sure.
But if it's the same person for 2 years, surely that person would have learned how to make the martini the way the customer
right.
wanted.
Yeah, you'd imagine, wouldn't you? You'd have to imagine.
There's a little bit of a control element there.
Even a waiter as bad as me would know after 2 years. Do you know what I mean? You wouldn't even need to give me two years of guidance. Mm-hmm. I'd get it eventually.
What used to really bother me when I used to be waitressing is when the man would order for the woman.
Oh, yeah, that is weird. Yeah, that is very weird. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm all about chivalry and everything now, but that is kind of odd.
I always found it really strange. And I used to look at the women and be like, can you not use your voice to tell me what you want of this particular menu?
I noticed that too.
And it was a red flag for me.
The guy would say she as well.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't even be, well, what we're going to have is one X and one Y. It will be, yeah, I'm going to have X and she'll have Y. And I'm like, oh, she'll have Y. Fair enough. You're not even going to use your partner's name. Just she'll have Y.
I could not be in a relationship where somebody else ordered food for me.
Mm-mm. That would be weird. That would be weird. What an incredible weekend of shows. I mean,
listened back there and I just remembered everything that we did.
It was incredible.
So I think that's what I'm going to have to do going forward. I'm going to have to listen to our own podcast after we finish doing Saturday and Sunday show.
To do the intro to the podcast and the outro to the podcast. Okay, I hear you. Very good. Well, listen, we'll be back soon, of course. But until then, from myself, Chris, goodbye from Kira.
Goodbye.
Chris and Kira. Weekends from 11.